Celebrate me.
Not true either.
Yes, it is. Michael Keaton's birthday. Happy birthday. La la la. Darkness.
Why are you speaking like that? I'm becoming concerned.
This is the Fantasy Focus Baseball Podcast. Here are your hosts, Tristan Cockcroft and Eric Carabel.
Hi there, and welcome to Fantasy Focus Baseball. It's a special Tuesday, September 5th, 2017. I am Eric, he is Tristan, and we've got Kyle the Monster Soppy and producer Mike Ravier along for the ride as well. And gentlemen, that was a nice long Labor Day weekend with lots of great baseball. Perhaps the best performance of the weekend was the last performance of the weekend in the Diamondbacks-Dodgers game on Monday night, which caused me to rewrite my entire blog entry for Tuesday. But I'm not bitter about that at all, because it's all about you, the listeners, the readers, all those great people out there. Tristan, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Gotta love a surprise show. I have a suspicion why we have a surprise show.
Why do you think
the
suspicion is?
I know why.
So you can talk.
It's my birthday, 1989 and 1992 version of me. Celebrate me.
Not true either.
Yes, it is. Michael Keaton's birthday. Happy birthday. La la la. Darkness.
Why are you speaking like that? I'm becoming concerned.
The worst thing is I didn't even get the voice right, so I totally blew it. Anyway, sorry, listeners. That's what happens.
I don't know if you got it right or wrong. I have no idea what you're doing.
Keaton's birthday.
Oh, today's Michael Keaton's birthday. Oh, so which character are we trying to play there?
Badly playing my Lego Batman. Did you see that movie yet?
Yet. That's yet. Implying that, like, I hadn't seen it before.
Have you seen it?
I believe I've seen it.
Oh.
Has Kyle seen it? I'm not the movie guy
no,
here.
No, Kyle hasn't seen it. We both know the answer to that question.
Even that?
No,
even new movies?
No.
It's not like we're asking you to see on the waterfront.
No, but you're asking me to catch up. I've got like 20 years to catch up. How am I going to... This backlog stuff, I'm looking at the Lego movies like July at 2037.
Kyle, I feel like you're not giving it your all when it comes to movies.
I have very limited access here. If it's not on Netflix, then if Netflix or ESPN, those are my two options here.
Kyle, you saw 1989 Batman.
Those are your two.
Oh, you saw the 1960s Batman, I hope.
Eric, I live the high life over here in Bristol.
Oh, man.
There's no other way.
No.
Lots to get through on today's show. Let's move it along for baseball talk. Here is the buzz. I suppose we need to start with J.D. Martinez, who,
wow,
that was pretty big, huh? Four home runs. Man, that is the guy I needed to bid on in my NL Labor League, and I got outbid.
We both got burned.
I
Me
tried.
And Tom, you and Labor, we both needed them desperately.
I had the most money, except for the people that had more money because they were able to, like, cash in their injured players, which I hate as a rule. By the way, check out our buddy Steve Gardner. And I know it's a competitor USA Today, but he wrote a story exactly about what we talked about last week, mm-hmm, about trading, the deadline being late, and he and I even texted each other, and we agreed this is what we're doing, and now it's just up to our players. Not like we could have gotten anything done anyway. Nobody else was interested, but read the story. It's pretty cool. I retweeted it today. J.D. Martinez had four home runs, and that's a lot. So I ask you this, like, he's the number 26 outfielder on the player radar, so it might be a hard sell to put him in the top 10 next year, but he is a top 10. He and Stanton are a lot more alike than we think. You know, they miss a lot of time, but they always hit homers when they're playing. I never thought about it until I was writing it this morning, but J.D. Martinez is kind of like Giancarlo Stanton.
Value points. I would say that Martinez's injuries have been much more unlucky of the two of them, and I think he's a more complete hitter of the two of them.
I agree with that, but my point was, I guess it's okay to draft guys like this because they're hitting their 30 to 40 home runs in 110-120 games, and it gives you odds. Like, I'm kind of on the fence, I guess. Early in the season, I wanted no part of Giancarlo Stanton back in March, and now I'm like, wow, that he had never done this before. Well, J.D. Martinez has 34 home runs in 97 games. 18 in 40 games with Arizona. I don't know where he's going to land next year. He's a free agent to be.
That's
but
the big question.
Still, I mean, really impressive. Anyway, top 10 outfielder, right? And a difference maker.
If he stayed in Arizona, for example, and just put any of the ballparks to fall within range and ballpark factors to Arizona, I would say Martinez is definitely a top 10 outfielder. I feel very confident in the guy because when he has been healthy, he's been rock solid consistent, right in the range of 330 and 100. You could drop the batting average a little bit, maybe bump up the homers. And I would say contrasting the two, Eric, as you threw Stanton out there, is that I think Stanton gives us the danger of Bryce Harper's MVP year, where now everybody's going to be all in next draft day, and it's potentially a mistake. He could go right back to the same injury questions he had in the past. I know there's been some bad luck with that, but he's also had some bumps and bruises of his own. What if he is Harper? What if he is a little variable year to year where he's going to give you the big year and you just can't predict it every three seasons?
I mean, this is only the second time Martinez has had this big season, okay? The only second time he's hit more than 23 home runs. Always been safe in batting average since the Houston days. If I tell you that Stanton goes in round two and J.D. Martinez goes in round four, wouldn't you rather have Martinez?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I think I would
and
too.
I think that we are downplay. He had 38 homers 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah, no.
So, I mean, he's but the thing with him is that he had bad luck with the injuries in 2016, so it shaved off 40-ish games. He would have gotten to 30 home runs. If you look at the track record in Detroit, so, you know, during the entirety of his Detroit career, he was 300. Actually, can I even get an average of 100% 162 games? 330-100.
He's a good player. I mean, these are good players.
I love the guy. I'll take him in the fourth round all day.
All right. Paul Goldschmidt with the elbow injury, MRI today. That's kind of scary because Arizona has won 11 in a row, and they're at the point now where they might not even push Goldschmidt this week if the elbow injury is serious enough.
They're red hot, that team, though.
Of course, and they're beating the Dodgers silly. And now, as a Goldschmidt owner, I'm thinking he may not play this week. Are you concerned about this?
I am, and you know the reason why is that I don't think the Diamondbacks are going to fool themselves that they could catch the Dodgers in this race. They're 12 and a half games back, but they have a substantial lead now on the wild card, so there is no reason to push the guy if he's less than 100%. And I'll tell you, I mean, at first base, it's not a good situation with the injury questions, because the other thing is, throw Goldschmidt on the pile with Freddie Freeman. I mean, you got to think with the injury, the things that were reported over the past couple of days, you can't feel comfortable.
I don't know why Freeman's still playing. He's admitted to everybody, reporters, his team, you name it, that his arm, his wrist hurts. His hand hurts. He's not hitting for power. He's still great. But, like, the Braves are so far under 500. Why are they pushing Freddie Freeman? And this Mets thing with Matt Harvey, I don't understand.
Oh, that makes no sense.
I don't get this. Like, if you know a player is hurt, okay, it's September 5th, all right? Obviously, everybody wants to finish out the final 3.5 weeks. But if you know a player is hurt, a great player or even a struggling player or an injury-prone player, I don't know why they get pushed like this. Like, is it about entertainment? Do you think that more people are going to come to the game to watch? I mean, I guess, but that doesn't, like, Freddie Freeman should be shut down right now.
Well, I mean, I go back.
Miguel
to what,
Cabrera should be shut down right now. I don't understand.
I'm not so much with you on the flat shutting down these players. I go back to what Stefania had said to us about Masahiro Tanaka when he wanted to just get in a couple of appearances so that he knew going into the offseason he had something in the ledger to say that he was a step closer to being fully healthy. So I wonder whether these players are playing a little bit for pride. And I just question why the teams don't give them a couple more days off. Freddie Freeman, by the way, 320, 400, 533 since the beginning of August. So when I watch him play, I don't see any signs of this injury he's talking about.
Oh, he's still great. It's amazing. He's still great. It's just weird how, like, he's saying he's hurt. He can't drive the ball, and the Braves have other options. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Moving on, since our last show, the big trades on the final night of August happened. Justin Verlander to the Astros, Cameron Maybin that went there, Justin Upton to the Angels, Brandon Phillips as well, who's a really underrated player. I've been singing his praises for years. Yeah, well, Verlander starts tonight at Seattle. I have him as a building block. I think he's going to pitch great. He's pitched great
over
the last 2 months.
With the butterflies, huh? Even with the butterflies, he admitted.
Does it matter? I mean, stuff is stuff. I guess, why would he have butterflies also?
I have no idea.
He's a kid. He's been around for a long time. He's pitched in a World Series. I don't know. I mean,
Look, I'm with you because you got to go with the straight numbers in the matchup, and you have to. I mean, first of all, this is a great pickup for the Astros. It really is. And I know, look, Seattle's got a decent number of bats in that lineup who could cause trouble, but they also have a couple of weak spots. I totally get it as a building block. Totally.
All right. Any other thoughts here on what the Angels and Astros did? I mean, Mabin's value probably went down a little bit, although he still runs. I think he's leading the American League in steals. Obviously, Upton's a terrific player. He's already been hitting. Brandon Phillips has been leading off. You and I think our biggest question, and I think you tweeted and I wrote about it, was what do the Angels do with their lineup? It's pretty clear now. It's not Cole Calhoun leading off. It's Brandon Phillips, which adds to his value.
Hate it. Totally hate it.
What do you mean you hate it?
I hate it. It's good for Brandon Phillips, but it's not best for the Angels. I think Calhoun should have been leading off and Phillips should have been the cleanup hitter. And I, to be frank, would move Albert Pujols down. I would.
I don't want you to be Frank. I want you to be Tristan.
Nice. I see what you did there. The top five of this order is quite a bit better. And by the way, Andrelton Simmons is having a great year as well. You could make the case for him moving ahead of a guy like Pujols. But it's good for Phillips. It turns the lineup over more often. It's going to give him more at-bats. But the on-base percentage is a little sketchy.
Some kids getting promotions. Dodgers already called up Alex Verdugo. Indians with Francisco Mejia. He was the designated hitter and batted eighth yesterday. And the Phillies, which is really strange to me. Not that they're calling up J.P. Crawford, but Crawford homered yesterday to help AAA Lehigh Valley make the International League playoffs. And now they have a two-game series, Wednesday, Thursday. Well, it's probably more than a two-game series. But they're playing in the playoffs. Like, just leave them down there for a couple more days so they can win a title. It matters to minor leaguers. It matters to the fans. You really need to see J.P. Crawford today in New York? I think this is bad, actually. I'd rather see Crawford try to help the Iron Pigs win an International League championship. Those last forever. Crawford, whether he plays 23 games with the Phillies or 21, doesn't really matter to me that much. Anyway, your thoughts?
You just like the park. You just want to see him play in a great situation.
I believe in this, to be honest with you. If I was on that AAA team, I would want to win the title, and Crawford certainly helps them to do that. He's a really good player.
Oh, no doubt.
Shortstop, batting second for the team, I think. It goes Kingery first, who's not getting called up, Crawford second. I just think it's really odd that they're calling him up today. Call him up Saturday after they're eliminated or if they keep winning. I
would have just called him up on when the roster's expanded.
Yeah, I mean, why
wasn't he here Friday?
This makes no sense. They waited to the end of the regular season.
What are you calling him up for? Like, what specifically is going to be his role? If the
he should be playing every day. If you're calling him up,
exactly,
play him every day. Freddie Galvis, the fans of Philadelphia here think he's so awesome. By the way, his WAR is like 1.2. His on-base percentage is right at 300. He's so overrated, people. Play Crawford every day. It's short. And by the way, Michael Franco thinks too. So or third, it doesn't even matter to me, but if you're going to call up Crawford, play him every single day. Play Hoskins every single day. Don't let guys like Galvis and Tommy Joseph and Michael Franco get in the way of these guys. It's ridiculous.
I'd give the one-month audition. If the purpose of this is to give the one-month audition for the 2018 team, sign me up.
I mean, it doesn't even matter, though. Crawford could hit 150 in the next 3 weeks, and he's still their starter at short next year.
But I still think that it gives him some reps going into spring training. We get a little bit of a read on him. So do they. They might be able to make some specific adjustments for him. They've got some stuff on tape at the major league level that they can deal with during the offseason. I think he should be playing every day.
From a fantasy aspect here, 10 teams, leagues on ESPN.
No, can't add him.
Any of these guys, Mejia at catcher? You think he could be a top 10 catcher the rest of the way? Do they use him at DH?
If they're going to use him every day at DH or get him some third base time, if he's in the lineup every day, but if he's hitting low in the lineup and I have some questions about him playing more than 50% of the games, I can't make the ESPN standard case. Maybe in a two-catcher league, because that's how bad the position is, I could do it. The only one that I think might be relevant here of the three, I think Verdugo could be relevant. So far, he's played a good amount.
We shall see what happens with that situation. By the way, after months prepping your fantasy football war room, you've never been more ready for football season. But between lineup tweaks and league domination, it adds up to a lot of time away from loved ones. There's no better way to make up for it than by sending your special someone a bouquet from 1-800-Flowers.com. Take it from us, nothing tops the excitement of a 1-800-Flowers bouquet. And right now, when you order a dozen multicolored roses for only $29.99, 1-800-Flowers will give you another dozen absolutely free. That's 50% off the original price. That's awesome. This beautiful arrangement of vibrant pink, orange, and purple roses will leave her stunned. Without spending a fortune, it's the best of both worlds. Amazing roses at an unbeatable price. These gorgeous roses from 1-800-Flowers are picked at their peak and shipped overnight to ensure freshness. A dozen multicolored roses for only $29.99 plus another dozen for free is an unreal deal and a small price to pay with all your fantasy league winnings. There's 1-800-Flowers.com, thinking Flyers, hockey too. And then there's everybody else. You know who you trust when the game's on the line to order a dozen multicolored roses plus an extra bouquet for just $29.99. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter code F. FFB. That's 1-800-Flowers.com. Code FFB, Frank, Frank, Barney. Let's hear some combo meal music.
Hey, it's a combo meal!
Best I can tell, there were four of them since our last show. Carlos Gomez, Shin-Shu Chu, Yolmer Sanchez, used to be Carlos, he's the White Sox infielder who can't hit, and Domingo Santana, who had a two-homer, one-steal game. You know what? Sanchez doesn't interest me much. And Chu is what he is, which is still better than most people realize, especially in leagues that count walks.
Good year by him, yeah.
It's a pretty solid year. I have him in our points league, and he's been pretty good. I mean, he steals a base, he's got power, he takes a walk. Carlos Gomez versus Domingo Santana, though. Obviously, I think I'd rather have Santana for the future because he's younger and I think more durable. What say you?
Yeah, I'd agree with that, too. I just think there's more to the future of Domingo Santana. The interesting note on Santana, though, is have you looked at the Sunday stats?
What do you mean? Like only on Sundays?
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, there was a note thrown out there yesterday that I think he's tied for the major league lead in home runs on Sundays.
Like
the guy showed. No, but it's weird that he's just shown up on Sundays because I've owned him. I actually in a very shallow mixed league, I cut him because the production just was not good enough compared to what was on the free agent wire. And then he puts up a game like this, and I'm second guessing myself.
I think there's a potential here. Like if you talk about a guy who could hit 30 home runs that you don't suspect, I mean that's Domingo Santana, and he can steal a base, right? I mean, he's already at 24 home runs in 131 games. Mm-hmm. Batting average is fine despite all the strikeouts and 12 steals. He's an underrated player.
He's definitely underrated, but he also has shown a little bit of inconsistency. And it's just I want him to answer that because if he does, this is a guy who probably ends up in the Marcell Ozuna value tier next year. He has the kind of year, the breakthrough that Ozuna did in 2017.
That's a decent call. And with more steals.
They're not the exact same type of player, but I think that the value point is going to be in within range if he corrects some of these issues.
All right, fair enough. Now let's take a look at the closer carousel.
The closer carousel.
Trying to find somebody interesting here in situations that change, and I don't really see it. I mean, Blake Parker's still the Angels' closer. Did blow a save, I think it was yesterday.
Yeah, it was a bad, bad one.
And, you know, for the Angels, who knows what they do next, right? I mean, Cambridge Road. Bud Nars comes off the DL any day now. He could be the closer again.
Yeah.
Weird situations there. I watched Brad Ziegler blow a save against the Phillies, which is really bad. But I still think he's their closer. Any situations here of note to you? The Mark Melancon thing to me makes absolutely no sense. He clearly needs surgery. He's admitting it. And yet for the arguably one – I mean, this is – maybe the worst team in baseball. I mean, the Phillies, the White Sox, and the Giants all have, like, about the same record. Why is he still pitching? Clearly, Sam Dyson is still going to be San Francisco's closer for the rest of the season. That's the bottom line in fantasy. I don't understand why Melancon is still pitching. It's not like his team needs him right now.
Yeah, I don't get it. It's an unusual – it's a condition that he has that I think even when he's not throwing, it affects him. He's got discomfort, I think was the description. Right. So why not get this taken care of now? Give yourself more time to get yourself back to 100% for spring training. I don't quite understand it. But the key is he wasn't really closing for them anyway. The only ones that struck me otherwise, Brad Hand had a not-so-good game. I think it was Thursday or Friday, which I don't think there's anything really there. The other one, too, is, Eric, I don't know if you've looked at the Yankees' returns from specifically their closers. Even with switching it to Betances, their closer numbers were surprisingly poor.
Well, I mean, the bottom line there is that it's clearly Betances closing and not Aroldis Chapman.
Yeah, but it was weird that even over that timetable, the specific ninth inning and the close stats weren't good. And it's just, I watch the games and I feel like I have no doubt about Betances.
You can drop Chapman now, can't you?
I think so.
He's not going to get any more saves this year, is he?
I would have put him on the DL, given the 10-day rest.
No, but I mean, if you're a fantasy owner in a 10-team league and you need every last save, and you do, you can cut him now.
Actually, I mean, if they could get him back to 100%, I'd actually rather him be deployed in the playoffs as a situational guy than a one-inning closer.
I guess the one situation we didn't discuss that's important, the Royals with Kelvin Herrera, who's been kind of a mess. And Brandon Maurer, man, they made that trade to get him. He has not been good for
that
them.
That was a bad game by him.
Scott Alexander's a lefty, so I don't know if he's next. He's been like a situational closer. Mm-hmm. Kelvin Herrera had a lower forearm strain, unavailable for at least a couple days. I don't know. I mean, I guess because they're still trying to win the wild card, they don't DL him. But do you drop Herrera now and pick up one of the, like a Blake Parker or a Brad Ziegler if they're available?
I mean, maybe Brad Ziegler. I feel like it's still a little bit too reactionary, and I don't know who else I would take from that bullpen. Who else do they have? Alexander is going to be, what were the Giants guys? Javier Lopez. I could see him getting those one out situational saves, and that's it. I'll stand with Herrera.
Let's take a look at the schedule for the next couple of days. Our next show, I believe, is on Thursday, so let's give you Tuesday and Wednesday right here. I don't see anything on our air. All right, so Arizona and L.A. continue their series. Zach Greinke and Hyunjin Ryu is Tuesday's matchup, and Wednesday looks like Taiwan Walker and Kenta Maeda. Now, Greinke, you got to use, right? He's been terrific this season, even at L.A. And the Dodgers, by the way, aren't the Dodgers anymore. Last couple of weeks, you don't get scared about using a starting pitcher against them anymore, do you?
No, and especially not here because Greinke gets the significant ballpark bump. I'm not going to put anything into the motivation of facing former team. This is all about the ballpark. And not only that, I'll sign up for the streak. I'll sign up for this hot streak. I think there's something to it.
Arizona winning 11 in a row means nothing about the 12th.
I know it doesn't, but then you're throwing your ace here, and you know you could make another major statement, and I think he's aware of that. There's no doubt that Greinke's in your lineup. The other is that Ryu did not look good in the game in Arizona. He also gets the ballpark bump, but I don't know. I own him, and I don't trust him for this outing.
No day games on Tuesday. Slade among the pitchers I think are interesting to discuss. Jason Vargas. Just a done Detroit team. First of all, it doesn't even matter that Miguel Cabrera is serving a suspension. When they traded Upton, the outfield's awful. It's a bad lineup. You might not think about using Vargas against a right-handed hitting lineup, but I would because there's nothing there.
Also,
right
if you use the seasonal stats, which, Eric, you remind many times, use the more recent splits, the Tigers don't have a lot of those players who mash lefties.
Exactly.
At one point, they had the league's leading weighted on-base average against left-handed pitchers. The only guys in this lineup who I think stand out against Vargas are Nick Castellanos and James McCann, and that's only if McCann plays this game. So you're right. Vargas could put up a very decent game. I think Zach Davies puts up a pretty decent game. The other thing is there's guys coming off injuries pitching here. Danny Salazar, Garrett Richards.
I can't fathom using Richards here.
I can't either. He's going to throw probably 40, 50 pitches.
There's no way he's going deep into that game. Salazar, I think you have to consider because of the strikeouts, right?
And the White Sox.
And they're just awful, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think this is an interesting debate between you two that it was played out on Twitter. Tyler Chatwood of the Rockies, who is Kyle's boy, but it's at Coors Field. And when's the last time he even started a game? Kyle,
it was early
August, here.
And it was terrible, but even still.
Well, so even still is kind of a big deal, though. Like, how can you make it? Is Chatwood going to be on a pitch count?
He is.
Yeah, he's not going deep, but any reason he
pitches.
Can't get a win against the Giants? I mean, he could throw, 50 pitches could get him through 5 innings? Maybe 50 doesn't.
That would be very efficient at Coors Field.
I'm thinking he keeps the ball on the ground. The Giants are terrible. Sign me up for 5 innings, 2 earned, a W, and good value on DFS.
The Giants have no Ks is the big problem. We're just trying to rekindle that horrible
we
board
sure are.
You can't make it. Take a timeout, Kyle. I can't make any case to use a pitcher who hasn't started in a month at Coors Field, even against that offense. I can't do that. I'll tell you who I also can't use, and I like this guy for years, is Jake Odorizzi, who's giving up so many home runs and walks and everything.
Can you make the case for Colon over him?
You can absolutely make the case for Bartolo Colon. Well, not only over Odorizzi, just in general, I suppose, the way Tampa Bay has hit, right?
So I'm getting knocked on Chatwood, and we're promoting Colon. Is that what's going on
here? I wouldn't use him. I can name a lot of pitchers I'd use. I'd use Salazar over him.
Board bet the better game score from today. Colon versus Chatwood. I'll take Colon all day.
I think you have to take Colon here.
I just want the win. I'm just excited to see Chatwood.
I think you are.
All right, I'll give you
this.
I'll spot you 5 points on the win. If you get the win, I'll give you 5 and spot that on the game score. Colon versus
Tristan, what are you doing? What's the
VIG?
I mean, you're getting our card.
Chatwood, Colon.
Degenerate. It's not even worth our time. Wednesday, there are day games, so please get your daily lineups in early. And the first day game is interesting. It's Luis Castillo of the Reds, who is probably on a pitch count and definitely on innings count. And Tristan, the Reds say this is it for him, which is fine. Can't expect a rookie to go deep into September. But Luis Castillo, the way he has pitched, that whip, that strikeout rate, I'm not saying top 20 starting pitcher in next year's rankings, but top 30? You can make that case, I think.
You could make the case if you want to go with the aggressive projection, because there's not any reason to doubt the workload. He's increased it 30 innings and then whatever he gets in this one. So if he's at 100, let's say he's at 165 at the end of the year, he can approach 200 next season. Major gains, increase in ground ball rate. He's among the league's leaders in that category. The control could be a little better. That's an area of growth. Good change up. He's been getting lefties out, very balanced splits. In fact, he's gotten more lefties out than righties. Definitely an interesting guy. Top 30 seems aggressive to me.
It does to me, too. More rookie talk on Wednesday. We got Jack Flaherty at San Diego. How can you do better than that? And Dylan
Peters.
He was
awful, though, on his debut.
He was, but that doesn't mean he's going to be awful again.
True.
But you know who wasn't awful? Dylan Peters, the short little lefty for the Marlins against the Phillies. So it's a double-A offense. But still, he's pitching against Gio Gonzalez in Washington. So Peters has the tougher matchup against Washington, though I think you'd want to throw a lefty at them. Whereas Flaherty's at San Diego. Who do you like better?
That's a good question.
That's what I try. Oh, we have plenty of time here. Just
I'm going to take. I'm going to take the home game of Peters.
Okay, so yeah, I mean he pitched well, bigger ballpark. Well, San Diego's a big ballpark too. I think people are going to be way too judgmental on Jack Flaherty from one outing. I mean, it's one outing. Come on,
I think they're both actually worth your attention. As a matter of fact, I'll put it this way: there's the other injury guy coming back on Wednesday is Lance McCullers. I will take both of them over McCullers.
McCullers has to be on a pitch count, right?
I'm thinking, yeah, it's probably better than Richards by a lot. It's probably somewhere in the range of 80, but I want to see McCullers.
I want to see him
first.
Pitch. A couple other rookies who are on the most added list for ESPN leagues, Luke Weaver and Jake Junis. Weaver of the Cards, Junis of the Royals, Giolito's on that list. Any of these guys pique your fancy the rest of the week?
Yeah, actually, Weaver, for me, has gotten up to every start status based on what I'm seeing. What's on tape or on TV, whatever you want to call it. Jake Junis actually had some great matchups here. As a matter of fact, I believe Kansas City had one of the better pitching schedules. Not one of the best, but one of the better ones.
They keep pulling him after 70 pitches. I don't understand. I mean, I know you don't want to face the third time around the lineup, but he's got some bullets left in the tank or gas, whatever. Like, I don't understand why he's getting pulled so early in these games. He's striking people out. Pitch counts are fine. Bullpen's a mess. Wouldn't you want him to go deeper?
You'd think, yeah. I mean, especially considering how poor their rotation has been.
It's been
awful since the beginning.
Here's something that's not poor. We got some interesting facts for you here from the folks at Gillette. Did you know the tip of a Gillette razor blade is measured on an atomic scale, meaning their blade edges are thinner than a single brain cell, and that precision is the work of many brain cells. The hundreds of members of Gillette's research and development team has spent more than 4,700 years combined working to make your shave closer and more comfortable. That's longer than the Egyptian pyramids have been around. I did not know that. And while more than 1,000 craftsmen and women in Boston are busy making your blades, another team putting your blades through more than 60 extremely strict and precise quality checks. Fail just one of these tests and it doesn't leave the factory. In other words, the hardworking people at Gillette never stop working to make your blades better, and they're pretty good. And now that includes the price tag. You can get Gillette blades at their lowest prices in years. See for yourself at GilletteOnDemand.com. Gillette, the best a man can get, and pricing applies to select products and is at the sole discretion of the retailer.
Eric, you know what else you don't know? Didn't know?
I'm sure plenty.
It's National Cheese Pizza Day, which I have to tell you is a step up from National Peanut Butter Pizza Day.
I love peanut butter on my pizza.
Yeah.
Are you serious? Yeah.
Whoa. What did you say?
That's
you
a
don't
thing?
Really
yeah.
help.
Peanut butter on pizza. Put it under the cheese and the sauce.
What?
It is phenomenal.
Really?
For those peanut butter lovers out there.
Well,
you have to tell the restaurant to do it. You got to bring your own jar of peanut butter.
You've got to hold a gun to their head to have them do it. My goodness.
I'm getting some weird looks in the studio, but... I am 100% serious.
You're getting weird looks out of the studio. You know, when they say National Cheese Pizza Day, isn't the cheese kind of superfluous? Like
that's what I'm thinking,
isn't it like cheese on every pizza? I guess not
Maybe
every
it's
pizza.
Exclusively cheese is what I'm thinking. Like you can't put pepperoni or anything on this.
Well, that's no fun.
What's your favorite topping?
What on what? When you have peanut butter on the pizza?
You're taking a timeout.
Your favorite pizza is peanut butter pizza? Don't tell me that.
No, it's not my favorite, but I'm saying it is a good switch up.
I'm favorite not pizzas.
Trying that. I like buffalo chicken on my pizza.
Buffalo chicken is good on anything.
Yes. Yeah, it is. You're right. It is.
I like white broccoli pizza.
You're in a timeout too. It's gonna be me and Kyle the rest of the show. Well, you already had a timeout. I'm the only person that had a timeout. All right.
Jeez.
All right. You have any questions?
I got a bunch of questions, starting with peanut butter pizza. But we'll go to Twitter for this. We've got Eric Oliver's wondering if there's any pitchers in danger of getting shut down early and ruining his fantasy dreams for the playoffs.
All of them. Nobody's going to pitch any more games. It's all over. Sorry. Shut it down.
Well,
I did numbers on this, actually.
Well, why don't you share them? Because I'm just looking at the schedule here, and I mean, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. It depends if teams fall out of the race. Like, if Tampa Bay is out, then maybe Blake Snell. I mean, McCullers, certainly they're prepping for the playoffs.
The playoffs is the wild card here. Yeah, so McCullers comes into that. Snell is on the list. He's projecting at more than 20 over, an increase from last season. The younger guys that stood out here, Dylan Bundy, way ahead of pace.
They're not shutting him down.
That
organization is nuts.
They're manipulating the six-man rotation, though.
And his last outing, man, I was watching some of that. He looked done, and they just threw him out there again.
But if they fall out of that wild card race, I think Bundy is done for the year. Parker Bridwell is up there. These guys are in the 70-plus increase range, by the way. Aaron Nola is up there. Castillo, we already talked about. The ones who are in the 40 to 50 range are Luis Severino.
Boy, they can't shut him down.
They got to keep their eye on that.
You know, Severino, by the way, has pitched like a top 10 pitcher this year.
He's been awesome.
Yeah. Where are you going to you have a little Yankee bias, but are you going to rank him as a top 10 starter? Are you going to rank him over Strasburg? It's like a little mini name game where we don't play the sound. Ooh. But like Luis Severino has pitched so well this year. And if we assume that, you know, we got Kershaw, Sale, Scherzer, to me is the top tier. Kluber's in there now. That's the top tier, those four guys. After that, I'm kind of willing to listen to anything. I mean, Bumgarner will be there for me. Darvish, I want to see where he ends up, but if it's L.A., definitely. Syndergaard, I have no idea. Greinke's there. Archer's there. Luis Severino feels like he might be a top 10 starting pitcher in our rankings, which I never thought would happen.
And I want to believe, because the stuff plays like a top 10 starting pitcher, I'm admittedly scared that I was all in after that debut season, and he was a real disappointment last year, and I don't want to lean on that. But watching him a lot as a Yankee fan, I have a hard time putting that aside. So when I sit down at the geeky spreadsheet, I'm sure I'll talk myself into a top 10.
Severino versus Carlos Martinez right now.
See, I love Carlos Martinez. I'd give him the...
Severino versus Archer?
Yeah, we should mention Archer, too. I mean, at least it sounds like he'll make his next start. But I feel like it's Archer.
All right, well, so maybe he's not top 10, but he's close. He's...
Archer ballpark. Ballpark. Okay. That's close, yeah.
All right.
The other guys on here, Lucas Giolito is up there. Tyler Glasnow, if he gets promoted, could be there. Jordan Montgomery, Sean Newcomb, Jose Barrios could...
They're in the wild card.
Yeah, he's manageable.
He's pitching their wild card game.
He's pacing at about 25
over.
Actually,
he may not. It might be Irvin Santana.
By the way, among the older guys, I don't know if you have any worries about these. Big increases from Lance Lynn, Jason Vargas, Alex Cobb, Charlie Morton, Hyunjin Ryu, Alex Wood, and Yu Darvish.
How can Lance Lynn be on that list? He's pitched 200 innings before.
I know, but I'm saying in terms of year over year compared to last season. I don't think any of these guys...
He didn't have a last season.
Right, that's why he's on the list.
All right, fair enough.
I think the only one that bothers me from the maybe shutting them down is Cobb and Ryu.
I just want to know about Andrew Luck. All right, what's next?
Wouldn't we all?
Yeah, Luck's looking at a couple of weeks here. That's a problem.
Who
Richard.
Pitches first, Luck or Matt?
Oh, dear. Who pitches better? We've got Richard. He wants to sip the Kyle Gibson Kool-Aid a little bit. He's available in over 90% of leagues. Three straight quality starts, no more than three earned runs in every start since the middle of July. What are you expecting from him the rest of the way?
I can't do it.
What he said.
I can. I understand that the numbers have been better, but he's just so hittable. I mean, I'm looking at his numbers. I understand KC, Toronto, White Sox are the last three outings, and they've been good. But the three outings before that, Cleveland, Detroit, Texas, he wasn't good. None of them were quality starts. He stopped walking people, which is good, because when you give up that many hits, when you give up a 300 batting average to like both sides of the plate, you better not walk people. But it's a low K rate. No.
Been there, done that. He's top 10 in terms of the highest hard contact rate allowed this year.
I've stopped investing in ground ballers like this. Like, remember, like I have Gibson on a sim team. I've had Kendall Graveman on a team. I can't do it anymore. Like, you can't afford to roster a starting pitcher who doesn't have a strikeout rate of at least like 8 now. It's really hard to do.
Justin Masterson, Trevor Cahill, Eric, who was the third guy? Remind me, I had that phase in like 07 where I loved these pitchers with the 60% ground ball rate and they had nothing else to offer. Who was the third?
07, I was in college.
Oh, Jesse Hahn.
I don't know what you're talking about.
In 07, I was very big on the extreme ground ballers.
Really?
Oh, I was 25 then.
I was so much younger then. Yeah. All right, what's next?
Really sounds like you're labeling Kyle Gibson as a poor man's Rick Porcello, if I had to put a...
Oh!
put a phrase to it here.
That's not bad.
Speaking of Porcello, he's third in hard hit percentage, and you're worried about Gibson. So we'll just leave that there on Tyler Chatwood Day.
You know what? He's a playoff starter.
You were right on Porcello. You were. Like, I'm watching that last night. So the manager trots on out there at 99 pitches because, God forbid, a guy throw a 100th pitch, you know, wouldn't stay in the game before the bear takes him out. And then Porcello's next pitch is hit 500 feet, and then comes Farrell. I love how that went down.
He did that, too, with Chris Sale in the Sunday night game, and that was just ridiculous.
If you're going to think about taking him out at 99 pitches, 100 is a big deal? Throws him in for one more pitch, and the guy hits it 500 feet.
Yeah, you knew what Sale and Porcello were giving you on each of those nights.
I don't get it.
Why did you keep him out for extra pitches? You have a loaded bullpen now. There's no restrictions.
Dumb, these managers. You know, 100 is just a number. They just picked it out of the sky because it's the first triple-digit number. You know, Porcello might have been done at 80 pitches. Wasn't even pitching that well anyway. But, you know, keep managing the way you want. The thing is, they all do it. They all do this.
You know, Rick Porcello is the highest K per nine of his career.
I mean, we're going to look back and we're going to end up talking about him next March and say he was unlucky in 2017. We are. The question is whether we're going to say unlucky enough for us to invest. Right. Or are we just flat out avoiding? Because 2 years ago, or, you know, last year, was a legit year. He's probably somewhere in between.
Right.
If you had to project an ERA for Porcello next year, it might be below four. It might be like 3.75.
That's exactly what I'm thinking, is 3.75. I think the pendulum swung a little bit too far in regression here.
It has.
And it's going to come back a little bit.
And Kyle's going to miss out. Because he's a hater.
I'm going to miss out 100% in every league, like I've missed out on Porcello for the better part of a decade.
Okay, Chatwood versus Porcello 2018.
Team Chatwood, put it on the board right now.
It's embarrassing. We're embarrassing everybody.
Let's get real, real meaningful board bets here. Severino,
everybody needs
Archer.
A timeout now. And so I'll read something. Fantasy football season is here, folks. On behalf of ESPN, we are here to make sure you know the difference between bad fantasy and good fantasy. Bad fantasy is drafting a kicker or a defense too soon. Good fantasy is going into the season with the best tools and analysis you need to draft the best team. Bad fantasy is leaving your best player in the starting lineup when he has a bye week. Don't use Andrew Luck this week. Good fantasy is having alerts from the fantasy app and Matthew Berry and all of us, really, as your personal consultants. So play the number one fantasy football game on the number one fantasy app, because good fantasy is better than bad fantasy. ESPN Fantasy Football, sign up now at ESPN.com/goodfantasy. And for those of you listening who actually do play fantasy football, it's probably almost all of you, the rankings go up on Tuesday this year.
Yeah.
Every Tuesday, rankings are posted, and we have separate rankings for PPR leagues and for standard scoring leagues, for some of you who are still playing in both. Their games start every Thursday, of course, but anyway, listen to the Fantasy Football podcast, because they do a great job, and they get you ready for all the games, and Kyle's on that show, and he says silly things there, too.
Hey, you know what? No. Bad fantasy is Lego Batman's voice. Good fantasy is Eric's falsetto voice.
You know, it's painful for me to hit puberty like this. It's like Benjamin Button.
I'm glad you finally reached 25. It's about time you caught up with me.
Doing my best here. I should pace myself. Okay. Any more questions?
Yeah, we got a few more here. Zach plays in a 10-team, 6-keeper league. Ooh. Wants to know which two you're going to keep of these four youngsters. He's got Bregman, Devers, Hoskins, Buxton. Give him two to keep.
Well,
Bregman, right?
Bregman and Buxton, doesn't it have to be them? I mean, Devers and Hoskins look terrific. They take walks, they drive the ball, they hit the ball the other way. But, I mean, I say but, like, Buxton is a potential 30-30 guy. Like, if he gets it right, even if his, like, contact rates don't even rise that much, I mean, he's, like, a 25-25 guy over the past calendar year, and he's still really young. And Bregman is a shortstop with 30 home run power, I believe I said it all year long, and finally it looks right, who can steal a base, who bats second. He's Pedroia with more pop. Bregman's great. So I would say Bregman first, Buxton second. I love Hoskins, and I think he's a 30-100 guy next year, and I think Devers is too. But don't you agree with me there?
I can make the case for any of these four.
You
I
don't
could.
Like Buxton.
No, I do, but... what you just said, you could have said in September of 2014, and it would have been just as valid as it is today.
But now he's showing it.
No, he did it last September, too.
All right, but now he's showing it for longer than a month? I mean,
No, it's been a month.
All right. Well, you can contradict everything I say.
I want to be with you on this one. I think what you see is what I see, and I want to love Byron Buxton here.
Do you see what I see? I see a 30-30 guy.
A star.
What is that from? 30-30. I don't even know what that's from. What is that? Sometimes I start singing songs, and I don't even know what I'm singing.
The drummer boy?
Is that what that is? You know that. That you know?
I have a computer in front of me, Eric.
With my drum.
And what did you do with it?
I Googled.
You recorded it?
I Googled, do you see what I see? What do you think I did?
Why would I possibly sing the drummer boy on this show?
You got a better answer?
No, I don't. Why would I sing that? I'm.
He will bring us 2018 championships.
I am broken.
I think I will jump on board with you here. Why not? Let's just throw caution to the wind. Buxton, Devers, Hoskins, book it.
Yeah, Hoskins might be the next Goldschmidt, and but let's just throw him back.
But I mean, Devers could be 330-100 for all we know.
I know, which now is probably no big deal.
Devers, by the way, I mean, I know I've got him on labor, and I bid all my fab money on him. He's hitting 179 with a 460 OPS in his past 15 games, and that's regression over the short sample. I mean, we can't make any judgments on him so far.
No, we need to see more from both of them, really.
So you're both going on record with Buxton as number two there?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think you have to.
Alrighty, last question here. Turnbell's got more of a strategic question. He's obviously been listening to the podcast a long time and has a bye this week. How do you prepare your team, any moves you make, heading into the playoffs coming? You've got a bye week, so you've got nothing to lose this week.
Well, it's nice to have a little bit of time off, but I'm already planning for next week's pitchers. So you're making moves. If you're a streamer, you're picking up pitchers.
Sarah, he's a streamer.
Right? I mean, Tristan, isn't that what you do when you have a bye week? No matter the sport.
I take a nap. No, I think it's a wise idea to do that. The only problem with streamers is that you don't want to overdo it. You don't want to cut something that you're going to need otherwise because I know as a guy who's constantly updating the rotations, this is some sort of insanity this year. How much these things are changing, how much pitch counts have become an issue this year. Eric, have you looked at the impact of pitch counts this year compared to baseball history? It's even more severe this year.
What do you mean? I don't know what you're trying to say.
It's even more difficult for pitchers to reach the 100 pitch threshold. We're in danger of dropping beneath 100 pitches.
Oh, we are managers in danger of just taking them out too soon.
We're in danger of seeing the complete game go extinct.
Well, that we knew.
But I mean, like, literally extinct for everybody.
I don't think literally is the word you want to use there.
I actually think it is.
Carlos Martinez had a complete game yesterday.
So 10 years ago, there was like 8 times as many complete games as we're going to see this year. 10 years ago, when there were still pitch counts.
How does that affect how we construct the fantasy roster?
I think it makes us need to do nothing but a streaming strategy in September. I have a team that's in the playoffs right now, had a bye week last week, and I'm playing my first round matchup. As a matter of fact, I'm playing against a certain guy on the Fantasy Focus football podcast, so we've got to get some interest on that one. And I have Clayton Kershaw, and I'm genuinely concerned I can't win this matchup because I'm going to get one start from him, and I'm going to have to stream the wazoo out of the rest of my pitching staff.
If we could have a field day with what you just said there. Stream the wazoo.
The wazoo. I couldn't agree more.
What do you think he's trying to say there?
I think stream the wazoo is like some form of...
That?
Yeah, it's like a form of transportation on like the Nile River. Like you're
keep
just streaming
jobs.
The wazoo.
You are not Googling that, are you?
No.
Yeah, if he wants to keep his job, he may not.
No.
We probably should stop the show there.
This was our best Tuesday show of the year.
Without a doubt.
What do you guys think?
Never do a Tuesday. Our first and last Tuesday show of the year. But we're glad it happened. We're glad you listened. I mean, I assume if you're listening to what I'm saying right now, you actually stuck it out through the whole show. You and your wazoo. Thank you so much for listening to Fantasy Focus Baseball. I believe we'll be invited back for Thursday, where I will read more ads as I hit puberty, and we'll talk about the combo meals and the carousels and all those other fun things.
The carabels.
Not even close. I'm Eric. He's Tristan. Kyle and Monster might be invited back. Mike Rabier will be. Have a great and awesome day.
Everything is awesome.
Darkness.
Time out for you.